going on down there?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to WTFW GlockCon number 2. We're just sitting over in the corner while everyone's having fun behind us.
We're keeping it mellow this time.
Yeah, I don't know what they're all
keeping
doing.
Ow! Aaron just threw a shoe at me. I'm gonna keep this.
Hey guys, we're trying to keep an we're trying to keep an NPR vibe here. If you could relax a little and stop being so aggressive.
We're just the four of us in here right now. Myself, Seth, Aaron, and Gog realized that none of us have Lupus's phone number, and he does not have any of our phone numbers.
So, Lupus, if you hear this, give me a phone call,
please do. We're also joined by from message boards, Piaw.
Speak into the mic. Hello.
These aren't like the one I had back there.
Gotcha. Closer to gotcha. Okay. Hello. I'm here. Just hold the mic.
hold it.
Then have a conversation.
Sibilance.
So we're recording this before the pre-reg lineups on Thursday, and we realized, and it was a very good point was made, there's not much to really talk about yet. So we're going to record a quick thing now, and then hopefully a quick thing afterwards. The thing afterwards, let's just call it episode 150. Because I just realized today is 150.
Just call the whole thing 150.
Whole thing 150? But I already called the file of BlockCon number 2.
BlockCon02-WTF.
That's insane. I don't know if I can deal with this change to my worldview.
I think evangelists of all people should be used to subtitles.
I write those usually.
Is that what it's called?
The.
BlockCon02-WTF2-WTF2W-150.
The extra dash is going to break everything.
Dash attack. That's classic. I don't know what you mean. So today we mostly just were chilling out. We all went for hot dogs, and there's a little story to tell there. All the Canadians were like, "Hey everyone, let's go have bacon wrapped hot dogs." So we all go out to have bacon wrapped hot dogs. Then me, the guy in front of me in line, who I think is Zach something something on Twitter. I can't quite remember.
Phoenix88.
Why does he say Zach?
Something.
Phoenix88 on Twitter, myself, and then the Canadian guy behind me, whose name I never caught, didn't get bacon because you guys ate all the goddamn bacon.
We ate all of the bacon.
It was good. Not much more.
Thanks for snatching the mic out of my hand just to punctuate with it was good. That was good use of time. So we're all going to the lineup, but we're not all going at the same time. Now there's some suckers. When are you guys going to lineup again?
Six.
PL, when are you going to lineup?
As soon as we get done here.
Six.
Yeah, I line up at 6. I'm
going to
get there as fast as I can.
All right, okay. Anyway, let's talk about cool people time. What time are we going to lineup?
8:00. That's
8:00.
A magic hour.
Right, we're not some kind of eager beaver. Keener, overachieving 6 o'clockers. No. We're not, you know, second tier 7 o'clockers. We're not late coming 9 o'clockers.
6 o'clock is more like sucks o'clock, if you ask me.
You know, that's true. Look at this. I is right next to the U on the key.
Yeah,
pretty much.
8 o'clock
is great o'clock.
I'm glad Gog Dog is on our side.
Yeah, it's good to see a 6 o'clocker accepting of their place in the world.
I know my role.
So while they all go run off to get to the lineup after we're done this first part, me and Seth are just going to take a saunter over to the grocery store and get a goddamn sandwich.
Yep, and we're going to eat it in front of other people in line. People are going to be like, "Oh, I'm kind of hungry," and then that's going to be our cue. We're going to be like, "Oh, sandwiches."
That's right.
Hello.
All right. Since this is technically since this is technically also WTF 150, just a quick news drop.
Really?
Yeah,
I've never been on a even number show before.
Welcome.
This feels kind of awkward.
Me and Aaron are just gonna recline back here and look all pro.
It feels kind of Kamen Rider-ish.
That's right. Let's all talk about Kamen Riders.
Okay. They have motorcycles. Man. They like to collect little plastic coins with dinosaurs on them and
diecast rims. Thank you. The news that is relevant to BlockCon is we just found out a little while ago, and it's a halfway's rumor, but we'll know by the time we record the second part of this, is that it seems that the souvenir toys might be a $298 total expenditure for the three sets, is what we've heard. Apparently someone talked to a member of staff, and we're told that the three sets will come to $298 total, which is hell of a more expensive than it was for the three sets previously.
Yeah, that's what, 75 more than last year? 88 more than last year? Yeah. Well, maybe if the running theory is if all of the troop builders' heads, the auto troopers' sets heads are super well painted the way that Physitron's was, that it might,
that might
be worth
reason.
It.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But that's rough because in BotCon prep podcasts, and in any time anyone asks me about BotCon, anyone asks anyone about BotCon, usually you tell them, like, well, bring at least 250, 300 for the souvenirs. They'll be less than that, and you'll have buffer cash. You won't have buffer cash this time. And if you brought 250...
You have $2. You can get Slim Jim and a Snickers. You have $2. You can get a Slim Jim and a Snickers.
With a bit more, you know, a bit more...
More in the mic?
That, yeah.
Diction.
Diction.
You will have $2. You can get a Slim Jim and... What else did I say? A Snickers.
Except for if they decide to charge sales tax.
Aw, and they will.
Oh, no.
I remember a board member ranting and raving in line in 09 when we were here about California sales tax.
What's up with that sales tax? Why you guys got to do that?
Is that like 9%?
It's close to 10.
Oh, suck it up. I got worse taxes back at home.
Yeah, Fun Pub, for the listeners, not just for y'all here, Fun Pub puts sales tax on everything. That's did we talk about it on this year's BotCon prep about how most dealers will do the tax backwards of say, okay, yeah, it's $20, and then you give them a $20 bill and everything's good, and then when they report, they do all their math backwards. Not Fun Pub, because that's not what a business does. So you get
their math.
You get your... Your piece of paper, you have to figure out all the math before you get there and get charged your own sales tax.
They ain't got time for none of that backwards math.
Yeah.
Condor left behind.
Forwards math or no math.
Backwards math.
So, yeah, that's going to be kind of interesting. Once we get we'll talk about it, I guess, once we go through there. The other bit of Transformers news I remembered coming in that I thought I might want to bring up on 150 is that an Australian website went all like, we're going to scoop the entire world, and hey, look, they're going to make American Masterpiece Rodimus. Relating to BotCon, it looked like such a shot from a slideshow PowerPoint presentation that I'm pretty sure that will be in a slideshow PowerPoint presentation this year.
Yeah, I've got that feeling that that was going to be the Hasbro surprise, and...
What's up, guys? We posted it up, just like you thought. We posted it up first week of June, and then they're like, second week of June. Crikey! That wasn't what we intended.
We got those blighties from Hasbro by the Wallabies.
apologies to any... I was going to say any Australian listeners. Apologies to Q-Dog for that. that was horrible.
Blimey.
Blimey. I think that's cross-culturalism going on there.
Crikey.
But that Masterpiece Bruce. Rodimus, the big thing is it's colored like the old Target Master toy, basically. So instead of having the black boots, it's got full red legs. It's got the stickers, just like on the old toy. It's got a Target Master. I was reading discussions about diecast content in the Target Master, but I wasn't sure if they were just if I was misreading something about the diecast in Rodimus. I think that it probably was. But he's going to have a Target Master, no trailer, and I think it looks pretty neat. I kind of like that they went for that many differences in how it looks, because it kind of makes me a little more interested in getting it than I already was, because now I don't feel like I'm going to be buying the same toy twice. But some folks were kind of hoping for the black boots, and I'm kind of like, well, it's still homaging something. It's the Japanese one's the cartoon.
Get a gun to marker and black them up.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. Was there a sticker on that box that indicated any sort of store
exclusivity? Toys R Us.
Okay, yeah, that's what I figured it probably would be.
I think my biggest concern with that is like they gave him the Target Master, they painted him up like the old toy, and they're calling it Rodimus Prime. Like that's no trailer, and they're calling it Rodimus Prime. They could have released his masterpiece Rodimus, and we would have just loved it just as much.
Yeah, someone asked me about that, and I was just like, well, he's still got the Rodimus Prime robot mode. And they were like, so he has a 2-centimeter growth spurt. And I was like, well, yeah.
he's got the face.
He's got the face. The only thing that I was...
He's got the attitude.
As Rodimus, I'm here to party. The only thing that I was not liking about it, and it's the most minor thing in the world, and it might have just been the photo, was that for some reason the face and the hands looked even more Hasbro gray than gray plastic they were before. Some about it. Yeah, there's a bit of swirl to it, and I was kind of like, I don't like that as much, but that's totally the most... The hands and the face are the smallest parts of the entire toy.
Yeah, so, the good news is the Takara is about to release their second version with all the fixes.
And hopefully that's
going to
be...
And this will probably, I assume, be...
It's just like with the Seekers. Every problem the Seekers had kind of came from a lack of safetyizing them. And I was saying that if Rodimus ever got safetyized, I think that would actually help him because it strengthens stuff.
Yeah, I'll definitely be on the list of people waiting for other people to review this thing before I touch it.
This toy will also not be $200 to purchase, which will be a big boon as well.
Yeah, that'll be it too.
And there was a little bit of a stem off from that, unless actually.
Yeah, well, I'm leaning toward getting it because, I mean, it's clearly going to be more affordable. And I like having two Grimlocks. Like, I have the Japanese release and the Hasbro release, and I keep the Japanese one with his apron and serving tray and put the American one into robot mode. So, the crown's on him right now. Yeah, the crown's currently on. And, so I'm leaning toward getting it kind of regardless because, I mean, if it turns out to be 60, 70 bucks, that's not too bad.
No, that toy, I've always told people, if that toy came out without the trailer for under 100 bucks, it's fantastic just for the sheer amount of engineering and parts moving in it, let alone how well it turns out in its car mode and the robot mode. And, the thing that stemmed off that, though, was people saying, like, since, you know, they are doing it and that kind of set a precedent that ever since Starscream, basically. Ever since that Starscream Grimlock kind of scale of them, like the smaller masterpieces, they've all eventually come out in the States. Does this mean that MP10 will probably come out in the States? I was already thinking, it probably will at some point, but this sort of seems to have made it cemented more for a lot of people that it probably
will. Well, Hasbro said that they had every intention of doing it. They just said that they were having trouble narrowing down a retailer that was going to pick it up, but apparently Toys R Us picked it up, so.
Yeah, as I expected that they would. I was a little down when I heard, like, oh, yeah, we're trying to find someone to pick it up. I'm like, oh, I thought that would be easier to shop out than some other stuff. But it is a movie year, so, you know, look at how many different exclusives there are for the movie already. Like, Dark of the Moon has a hell of a lineup of store exclusives, and a bunch of them are already showing up. Like, that Scan series has already been seen in stores. So, The one other thing I thought of that was really relevant that we could bring up before the lineup was the Target nearby and how many Target bags I've seen since getting here. And the sheer number of people who have been, yeah, right there is a Target bag. In my own, holy crap, he threw it at my head. In my own backyard. What's in that Target bag? Can I see it? Oh, Loki. Secret. I love these Thor toys. Okay, he's cool too, but. I like the Thor toys because for some reason, you know how when Marvel toys get toyified, they kind of get the toyified weapons and stuff? For some reason on Thor and as Guardians, I find that 100 times more funny to look at than on other things because they're all magic and stuff. Whereas like if it's Iron Man or Captain America, they could have like a big thing, but it's like Thor with a giant magic big thing.
It's not magic. The Asgardians come from a place where magic and technology are one and the same. Or weren't you paying attention to the movie?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm falling out of my chair. I'm dying. Aaron, take over the show.
You got Thor'd.
Hey, Aaron apparently can't take over the show. Seth said you got Thor'd and Aaron just started keeling over.
Dear the headlights! Dear the headlights!
And now he's just clutching the Monster Energy drink. He's not stopping.
For all the listeners, just freaking out that they don't know what the other thing is that Vangelist didn't name. I got a...
Why would you be freaking out about
it? Well, because some people are listening and they're like, oh, we got two things. You got this thing and what's the other thing? What's the other thing? What's the other thing? What's the other thing?
I don't know what it was!
So to save everyone the trouble...
Windcharger, obviously.
God, there's like 8 Windchargers in this room.
Well, it was Winter Soldier, by the way. Just so everyone can...
Specifically, comic series Winter Soldier with snap-open jetpack. That's a cool jetpack. It's got like a red star and stuff on it.
Well, he's dirty red.
Do those little thrusters like fold in too? Like, I'm curious. Anyway, yeah, the Target nearby. A lot of people have been hitting up that Target, and I'm kind of having fun watching people coming back with big Target bags before the dealer room's even open.
They have a lot of Transformer stuff there. It's just stuff that pretty much anybody that cares already has.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, lots of impulse buys, though, because when you're here at BotCon, you're...
Well, that's what these are.
But I mean, like, if you're at BotCon, it's like, oh, I've been skipping a lot of Dark of the Moon. When you're here at the show, and you go to a Target, and there's a wall of Dark of the Moon, you're kind of like, I'm feeling all transformed up. I'm going to get some of this. And then they come back with just piles of deluxes. I'm kind of thinking, like, maybe folks are spending a bit too much before... Dealer room.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even really look at what they had. I just looked in the pile of Voyagers because I would have gotten Megatron if they had it. They didn't. They had nothing.
They
but
still
Optimus
didn't have
Prime.
Megatron?
They only had Optimus Primes.
Oh, man.
That was it. I'm sure if they had Megatrons, those got bought up yesterday or the day before. But and then, like, I'm sure that eventually it's going to come to a point where there are going to be plenty of Megatrons. I'm not in a rush to get one, but if one was there, I would have got it. But there wasn't. But I don't know.
May have decent odds of getting them at the Fun Pub store.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to get Warpath.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Mm, well, we heard the Fun Pub store can have wind chargers, and I was saying that, you know, they won't have it for long.
I got a wind charger.
Yeah, on the front page of TFW, which most of you already probably see, apparently Leader Ironhide was just cited to retail.
What?
Yeah,
I was telling you about the store over there. I was having dinner with Kickback.
Sorry, off mic. No, I actually saw that earlier when I was having lunch with Kickback.
It was in Pennsylvania, so maybe the store will have some. Probably not, but
if they have some, that's one where being an 8 o'clocker, I'm just gonna have to not even consider it because I think that's gonna go pretty. I think anything from Wave 3 Plus that is a new mold and anything that's called Windcharger or Warpath is gonna be gone from that store by the time 7 o'clockers get there.
Damn it.
Windcharger is going to be gone hell of a fast, and I'm telling people, like, don't worry, you're going to see all those Windchargers again. It's just they're going to be in a different dealer room, and they're going to cost about 3 times more than what they cost at that club store, but you'll see them.
I got a Windcharger today.
Everyone here has Windchargers. You've been turning all the Windchargers into Ger Chargers.
Yep. Super action pose.
I didn't even realize how many there were here. Just, like, looking around all over the place. But, yeah, I think what you guys are about to head off to the lineup, right?
Yeah, yes.
Alrighty. So we're gonna do a bit of a time skip here, and when you hear from us again this episode, it's gonna be after we've all gone through the lineup. Unless we just spontaneously record something.
Bye,
in the line.
Ah! Hey, you guys you guys run off, you peeners.
Yeah.
We need you.
PR rubbed a wind charger on his buttocks.
I already got Soul Fury's Fistatron.
Was your Fistatron rubbed on PR's butt? I don't know. Yeah, we'll just watch you guys leave.
Yeah.
All right, close the door behind
bye.
You. Yeah, all right, bye. We'll see you later.
Don't let the door hit.
Bye.
Don't rub your ass on the door on your way out.
And now they're all gone.
Good.
Jesus.
So I got Doctor Who stuff?
Well, yeah, you got what, Doctor Who 8, Doctor Shit. That's pretty cool.
Moderator, super moderator, Boardwise. He muled some stuff out of the UK for
me. How long has it been since we've seen a Boardwise in the wild?
Last time I saw him was in 07, but did he go to the 08?
I don't think he was at 08.
Oh, damn it.
What, you're still in the washroom?
I had to pee!
We got dog-dogged.
Damn it. So when are you gonna give the odd number episodes their true identity and start bringing up Doctor Who toys every episode?
There's nobody to talk to about it.
I guess.
Yeah. And I don't get Doctor Who stuff all the time.
You should get Doctor Who to get better toys made so we can get more. Because I was telling you, when I saw that 11 Doctor set, when you opened it up, I was actually kind of shocked at how nice those figures look. Because I'm so used to Doctor Who toys looking, like, no offense meant, but looking kind of junk a lot of the time.
Yeah, and, like, they have more articulation than kind of some of the earlier releases do now, but, like, their thick plastic, like, jackets and stuff will block it a lot. Mm. Like, I got the Christmas special set a little while ago, which is a TARDIS, the 11th Doctor, and Amy Pond in her policewoman uniform. And I shot a video for it, but the quality of the image was horrendous, so... I got to reshoot it, but I tried to demonstrate how, like, with Amy, she has articulation in her neck, but her hair completely freezes her head in place, and both her and the Doctor have hips, but their clothing completely locks their legs. Well, not completely locks, but severely limits their range of motion.
Because I don't want to overestimate the popularity of Doctor Who, but I am of the mind that if they did... even just one Doctor, pick a popular Doctor, do a very high-end collectible of him, really well-done toy-wise collectible, release that for like $30 to $40, I think it would do gangbusters, given the sheer number of people into the whole franchise.
Yeah, well, and with the Doctor, they're really kind of focused on a small market. Like, I mean, a lot of the production comes, like, if you watch Doctor Who in the credits, like, one of the big production elements is Canadian television a lot of the times.
CTV shows tons of Doctor Who as it airs.
Do they sell Doctor Who in Canadian stores?
Only in comics. It's all Diamond.
Yeah, so they're really only marketing it to UK.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a fairly small pool.
Yeah.
And it's really considered, I mean, it's really meant to be a kid show.
It is still pretty niche, too, even though it's gotten huge online, but a lot of loud fandom might not necessarily mean lots of numbers. I don't really know. Like,
well, my understanding is it's a bigger deal in the UK than in North America, although it has a growing American popularity. It's still kind of, it's something people saw on PBS when they were kids, like in the 80s, and they only know like the super low budget cheesy versions. But it's a I don't know. I think the show's pretty fun.
So many designs in that show just seem so perfect for, like, Cybermen and Daleks are such perfect candidates for not that expensively made toys that would be a lot more fun than what seems to come out.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised none of those kind of high-end toy companies have ever done anything. Like, Hot Toys, they're one of them, but they'll do stuff from all kinds of licenses. I'm surprised that they've never done a Doctor or anything, or Cyberman.
They did the Spirit.
Yeah. Like, a modern Cyberman would be really cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I draw this parallel for some reason in many different ways, despite not watching much of it. But, I mean, like, I look at stuff like Kamen Rider, and I'm like, it's a live-action show that is highly based out of one country, highly aimed at one country, with a loud but not incredibly huge fan base of English speakers. And it has good toys that sell gangbusters. And I'm like, Doctor Who could do that, I think, really easily.
Yeah, but there's probably a big cultural difference between Japan and England as far as, like, toy collecting.
Nah, they're pretty much the same.
You know, yeah, pretty much the same.
They all drink sake out of teacups. It's lost a whole bunch of people there. I'm sorry.
Governor-san. Pip-pip cheerio, Governor-san.
We're
really off topic.
Mix a chav with a Yakuza.
This is awesome. We went to BotCon and went super way off topic and talked about Doctor Who.
Because they all got out of the room because they're all keeners.
We're basically just trolling everybody at this
fancy
point.
Fancy pants, 6 o'clock line. All right. Well, I got to go, especially now that they're going to probably be $300. I really got to go grab my cash from my room.
Yeah. It's really made me rethink if I'm going to get all of them now.
I always get all the BotCon toys out of... Like, I enjoy having
spite.
Them. Out of spite. Make all you feel jealous. So I want to get them all, but it definitely, I was not expecting 300. That's impacting some of my spending for the rest of the show.
Yeah, like, if Big Bad Toy Store was here and I knew they were buying, then I would have done it just for a very small profit margin, just because I know there's tons of stuff that I would want to get from Big Bad through credit. But
they aren't here.
They're not here.
And I heard, did we talk about this on here yet, that all the third-party stuff apparently is going to get cracked down on this year? That's the rumor going around?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I heard that apparently, I haven't confirmed any of this, but I've heard the rumor go around enough to make me think it came from somewhere. But apparently a lot of dealers might get told, don't put out so much third-party product.
Well, then what's TF Source going
to
do?
That's what everyone's been saying.
They're just
going to
go home?
First, every single person they hear, third-party toys cracked down on, reaction, but TF Source. Like, that's...
Yeah, because I was hoping to find... not Explorer, what was the...
Oh, Fire Blast.
Fire Blast, yeah. So I was hoping to find Fire Blast and Munitioner. Because those are the two color schemes of that mold that I prefer. And I'm not trying to get all the parts because I don't have that combiner team to combine them with anyway.
Yeah.
So I just want the robots and the colors that I think look cooler.
But I was totally hoping to find a bunch of the pre-Scouting Force but post-Rumble and Frenzy Perf Defect stuff. Like Rosanna and Ejector
King
and Rewinder. King Bat.
Got to get a King
Bat. I was actually aiming to get everything. I was going to get Ninja and King Bat. I was going to get the Ultimate Force X Zero whatever thing. And like that's basically everything they released that I haven't picked up. And if they're not going to be out on the floor, that would
What's Ultimate Force? Is that Ejector?
Ejector,
and
Rewinder, and the two birds.
The Sun and
Sun of the Moon. Yeah,
they're going to be doing like a more Laserbeak and Buzzsaw colors on those, right?
Yeah, I was going to skip Sun and the Moon, but then I realized I was like, I'm going to want the Sun one anyway. So if three out of those four I want, why not just get the four and figure it out later?
Yeah, I might be tempted to get them. I'd rather have Laserbeak and Buzzsaw versions.
Yeah.
But if the only way to get Ejector and Rewind is
Are sold separately, too.
Okay, well, if I see them separately, then I'll just get them separately.
My plan,
we even see them at all.
Yeah, my plan was, like, if I buy them here, number one, don't pay shipping. And shipping to Canada from anyone who sells that stuff tends to kind of hurt. And then number two would be, like, if I wait till Sunday, especially that Ultimate Force, whatever, X, the foursome, tends to not sell much online. So I was like, maybe I could wing a deal, get another $10 off on it on Saturday, Sunday. So I hope I see them, but I totally understand if I don't, because perfectly valid reason. Hasbro's standing right there, kind of going like, why those guys are selling that stuff that we didn't make? This is all about.
Yeah, there's been talk about, I guess one of the unconfirmed kind of stories on why Big Bad isn't showing up anymore is they've gotten hassled about how much Transformer stuff they have out compared to other things.
Well, fully unconfirmed, though, because we've discussed it off the record, and we're kind of like, they do have a lot of Transformer stuff. It's just by Sunday they don't.
Yeah, so, we don't know how true that is, but hearing like this, and I was hoping those Reveltech girls would be back from 09.
I was too.
But,
When I click some joints,
But yeah, a little variety is nice. Mm-hmm. It's a Transformer show, but it's not going to hurt anybody to see a little bit of something else laying around.
Yeah, but I'm sure if they did crack down on it, I'm sure there are still people who are going to kind of slide them out just in lower numbers later on in the show, because. Unless they got people literally walking around the show floor scoping out specific products and knowing what they look like. Like, I think there's a difference between the TF source table from last year and the guy who's got a table full of Transformers and then, like, a stack of, like, Ejectors, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because, that's really kind of what I'm looking for is more third-party stuff. Just because, the official Hasbro stuff, like right now, I'm mostly caught up on everything I want. And the only stuff that I don't have that I want is Wreck-Gar and Warpath. Yeah. Really,
and those are hard to find.
Yeah, which is
It's not like we're skipping Hasbro stuff because of third party stuff.
Yeah, it's just a couple weeks ago, all the Dark of the Moon stuff started hitting, and I've pretty much gotten all of the Darker of the Moon stuff that I want, even a couple that I didn't really want, but I was just wrapped up in the emotion, or I was trying to use up that gift card before the money ran out.
You just bought two more Hasbro toys, and Loki and Winter Soldier, so it's like, that's the thing,
I didn't really want.
Yeah, like from my perspective, and from, I think from your perspective, it's like, shutting off the third-party valve, it's kind of like, that just means I might not spend the money at all, rather than on that third-party stuff.
Yeah, like last year, none of the stuff that I bought in the dealer room was Hasbro. Mm-hmm. I bought a bunch of stuff, but it was all third-party or Takara Tomy stuff. So it was like reissues and whatnot. But that's just because I can't go to Kmart or Target or Toys R Us and get them here.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the only place where like impulse could take over.
Otherwise,
I don't have the time to think twice about it while I'm filling out the online order form.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going online where you don't, and especially with Perfect Effects stuff, if you don't see it in person, it's hard to decide to buy it.
Yeah, I was kind of not really hooked on it until last year when you traded me that
Shadow Warrior,
and then it was like, holy crap, these are amazing.
That's why, before I heard about this third-party thing, I was like, man, TF Source, if they want to move some product, put Scouting Force X out in a case on the front of the table.
Yeah, and if your two biggest dealers historically have been Big Bad and TF Source, and Big Bad's already gone, do you really want to alienate the other one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird. But we'll know tomorrow if this is true.
Yeah.
If we see it and it's true, I will still be kind of surprised, even though I've heard this all, today, because it doesn't seem like a smart thing to do. I mean, limiting it seems like a thing to do, but to outright cut it off seems kind of overly drastic to me.
Yeah. Because, right now, or all leading up, my whole whole plan for the Friday night dealer room preview is to just beeline straight for the TF Source table.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens there. And I'm curious to see what happens with the club store. Even though we're in the 8 o'clock, we're probably not going to get any of the most desirable stuff. But I'm still holding out that, you know, a lot of Dark of the Moon Wave 3 is repaints most people don't care about. And I care about one of them, so I hope I can see that there.
Oh, but anyway, I was starting to say, and then we got totally sidetracked, with if this rumor pans out on how expensive the souvenir figures are, being two packs, like both two packs have one that I either want or would like, and then one that I'm either on the fence on or don't.
Yeah.
Like with the Galvatron and Action Master Thundercracker, I would love to have that Thundercracker, but I do not want that Galvatron. And then the other two pack is they're both kind of wants, but I mean my mindset right now is I'm gonna have to skip the Thundercracker and Galvatron set just because otherwise I'm paying a ridiculous amount of money just for that Thundercracker.
Yeah.
And maybe I can resell that Galvatron. But when we were talking about it a little earlier, GogDog was pointing out everyone's going to be, or not everybody, but a lot of people are going to be dumping that Galvatron because they only want the Thundercracker. And it's just not going to have much value.
And Galvatron Thundercrackers being made 300 pieces more than the other two sets. And I'm really, the Thundercracker's a big draw for sure. And if the Galvatron's, you know, done well enough, it can even just be seen as like, hey, it's a neat Galvatron. But it strikes me as very much a case of Razor Claw Alita 1 from a couple of years ago, in that there's a good chance that one might even make it to the online club store after the show's done.
Yeah, well, it's that Galvatron to me is this year's Cyndrasaur.
Yeah.
Just don't even bother. And I got like one dude on Twitter that is kind of interested in getting that stuff, but not being here, he doesn't even know what the choices are or what the prices are. And I don't want to buy this stuff to maybe sell this guy. And I kind of feel like a jerk just not leaving him hanging. But I mean, right now my mindset is I'm most likely going to skip the Galvatron Thundercracker. I'll get the Auto Troopers, and maybe I'll get the Toxitron and
Sideswipe.
Maybe I'll have to see what that one is priced at by itself. But right now, the only ones that I'm going in there with the intention of getting is the Auto Troopers.
Well, if they each end up more expensive too to add up to this $300 total, that also means that like the whole thing of like, you know, buying some to sell afterwards, it's not as enticing anymore because you're putting down more money. And this isn't just putting down an extra couple bucks. This is putting down, as we said, an extra $80-some on the hope that you'll sell this stuff. And especially with Thundercracker and Galvatron, that's a huge hope unless you already know someone who's interested in it.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to spring it on somebody like, okay, now here's what the toys are.
Yeah.
And they're really expensive. And I only bought them because you had some sort of interest. So
yeah, it's like putting down $200 on stuff where you might like some and might not like some is different than $300 down.
Yeah, and so. Like in the case with this guy, like he's been kind of a buddy, so I would feel bad about like jacking prices to make profit. So
yeah.
I would just be middlemanning, and just without that commitment, I don't want to risk spending that much money. And
yeah.
So, I don't know. Right now, it's...
However, good news for everyone out there who wanted Action Master Thundercracker. Myself, Griffman, a couple others were all really jazzed for that kind of thing. And I was saying, like, you know, it's good news for us because it'll be easy to get. It's good news for everyone who wants a Shattered Glass Galvatron because he's going to be super easy to get after this show, I think. He's going to be like... what was that set with Rapido? Was it Rapido and Double Punch from last year? Can't remember now. They even made it to the club store. That was not a hard set to get.
Well, who came with Cyndrasaur last year?
Oh, was it Rapido and Cyndrasaur? No, it was. Yeah, it was. Double Punch was with the Hound repaint.
Yeah, my Cyndrasaur is still sealed in this plastic bag, unloved and unwanted. It's just awful.
It's like those niche toys. I think it's kind of like almost proof of concept as to why, you know, sometimes stuff doesn't get done. Is you get a niche toy where, you know, Action Master Thundercracker, as I said, I am super into that. Other people are super into that, but we amount to a very small handful of folks. Like with that Ultimate Optimus Prime with the crazy six-winged armor trailer and stuff, I always say, you know, I'm hardcore into it, and four other people are as well. Because we're the only people who even care. But, you know, it's a mass market toy. And I don't know, it's
gonna be yeah, and I could understand the allure to kind of have some variety in what the figures are, but it just seems so out of place when
yeah.
the five pack is this theme and the three pack goes in with that theme and one of the two packs goes in with that theme. And then it's like, oh, here's these other things.
I've always felt that way when they do that third set that adds on to previous years where it's like, I like the concept, but especially when you have such a strong, strong concept like this year with really strong remolded heads, really strong toys. Like, all the animated toys this year look fantastic. It's like, I find myself going, I like Thundercracker, don't get me wrong, but I would happily have him get delayed to being a club store exclusive, if anything, to have another pair of animated relevant toys in there to make this whole thing feel cohesive.
Yeah, like, it would have been cool to have, you know, the five-pack all be the Stunticons. And then have all the attendee figures be animated Autobots.
Yeah.
That would have been a cool way to do it. But, like, right now, like, the Auto Troopers are Autobots. Toxitron's a Decepticon.
Yeah.
Then Sideswipe's an Autobot, yeah. And then he's the only Autobot.
Yeah.
But besides the Auto Troopers, and they're just clones.
One can argue that it's like, you know, if you're going to do this third set that's irrelevant, that's to add variety to draw in more buyers. But historically, the third set has always been the least desirable because it's like, it's not only something different, but it's kind of like, oh, look, it's Shattered Glass Galvatron, who was barely in the comic that Shattered Glass took place in, and Action Master Thundercracker, who is basically an in-joke for a very small number of people, myself included.
Yeah, and that's the insidious thing about packing Rapido with Cindersaur last year.
Yeah.
Is because you want that Rapido because he does fit with the set.
It was and fantastic.
Yeah, and had that awesome head. And then Cindersaur. It's like, why? And it doesn't even look anything like the original Cindersaur. It's not even close. It has nothing to do with that Cindersaur.
This is another case where it's like, I ended up warming up to Cindersaur, and I knew, I think, two people who adored what they did with that Cindersaur. But again, that's the case where it's like these utterly niche little minorities. And it's fantastic. I keep saying that word. It's great that they're covering those little niches because this is the time to do it at a convention. But when you mix and match stuff, like you said, like you mix Rapido, who has mass appeal to a huge number of people, even just in how it looks on its own. You mix it with the most niche thing in the entire world, which is Cindersaur. And in this case, it's kind of like that Thundercracker and that Galvatron. Shattered Glass has quite a fan base. Action Masters have quite a fan base in terms of the niches. But Action Master Thundercracker fans are not necessarily Shattered Glass fans, and Shattered Glass fans most often are not Action Master Thundercracker fans, I find.
Yeah, and like with Cindersaur, if he looked more like the original figure, then that would have been interesting. Or if they used a different mold. I just don't like that mold. I've never been a big-time Beast War guy, but I've always been really tempted for that Transmetal Megatron, where he was more mechanical and had the flip-out little fan engines from his hips. If they used that mold, then I would have been just happy to finally have that mold. Something that I've come so close to buying so many times, but they used a version of Megatron that I don't care for, and then it... The only thing that it seems to have in common with the original Cindersaur is the name Cindersaur. So it's just like...
What do you think they have in common?
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like they really were reaching for a kind of like, oh, this will be like an obscure, weird thing that people in the know will appreciate. But it seemed really kind of self-indulgent.
Mm.
So, whatever. And that's kind of what this Galvatron feels like. It feels like a self-indulgent thing that they're doing more for themselves than for anybody else.
Well, that having been said, we're utterly excited to go and line up in a couple hours, and we're, this is 5 o'clock now. I should go get my money.
Yeah.
And, I guess I'll meet up with you back in the lobby down there.
Okay.
And go get some sandwiches.
Sandwich.
I think I'll leave my laptop. I don't know. I'll bring my laptop with me because I brought my knapsack.
Your knapsack?
Yeah, it's behind you.
Should I grab batteries for this mixing board and microphones if we want to start recording in line again?
Why not?
We'll see what happens.
Worst case, we'll carry a bit of luggage we don't need.
Well, it would be nice to have the backpack to help carry stuff.
Later yeah, anyway. I'm going to bring my rolly suitcase, I think, to put the...
I wish my in. Rolling suitcase was a little more rigid, then I could bring it to you as a seat.
Well, I might bring my big one, because my little one, I don't think a convention box can fit in it.
Oh, I'm going to have to carry the convention box, but if I get, like, smaller stuff, like the auto troopers, and maybe if there's anything at the store worth getting, like,
yeah.
official Hasbro merchandise, we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah. That's kind of the way we're going to run it. We'll see how it goes. Your t-shirt has a time-traveling DeLorean about to smash into the TARDIS.
It has smashed. You oh, it see, has smashed it's a little into the TARDIS. Crumpled up there, and the door's a little bent.
Well, someone bent the door of the TARDIS. That's going to start an argument.
Yeah.
Should have a bug man drop kicking that thing once it'll happen.
Oh, in the elevator earlier. I got in the elevator to go downstairs, and there were three ladies in the elevator. And one of them went, oh, that's a shirt, Woot shirt. And when it is. And then some other people we know got on the elevator the next floor and completely cock-blocked any other attempt I had to talk to this person. So... <Aww. laughs> So thanks did for
you,
nothing.
Did you throw them out of the way? He's like, get out of the way.
No, like, and they had literally stood in between me and this lady, and then just started nerding out. And it's like, argh! Thanks for nothing.
So you got to carry a taser.
I'm not going to name. I'm not going to out this person, but they know who they are.
Oh,
they're probably not even listening.
They're probably already lined up a bunch of keeners.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be back in a second. Leaving die like a Chinatown hustler. Bonafide, crazy mother sucker. In the town that's the mother to the hustler. Chinatown a hustler. Leaving die like a Chinatown a hustler. Bonafide, crazy mother sucker. In the town that's the mother to the hustler. Pulling out my clock. Hey, we're back after the long break. So, Seth, how are our souvenir toys?
I don't know. Brian won't let us have any now.
Yeah, that's right, because apparently we don't get to buy souvenir toys until early in about 7 hours.
7 hours from now, we get to get in line behind people that are supposed to be behind us.
Yes, the 9 o'clockers, the low class, the plebs. On the bright side, because we have some sick-ass paper tribal print yellow wristbands, we get to go in front of all the dealers and whoever thought they were gonna line up at 8:30.
Suckers. So should we tell the story of what happened?
You guys, mind if we just tell the story?
Yeah.
All right. So me and Seth have been in line for a while. Just to give context also, John lined up with us, yet somehow finished 2 hours before us, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
Well, and then folks that came into line an hour after us were in and gone.
Hot sauce. So- here you go. You want to read that? Hot sauce.
Hot sauce Santa strikes again.
Anyway, you'll find out what that means someday when you're older. Hot sauce Santa strikes again.
Hot sauce Santa is whatever he needs to be.
Yes.
To bring the joyous hot sauce to the children's of the world.
So anyway, we're in line, and we're just finally, after 2 or 3 hours in line, we're getting near the front, and we haven't actually gone up to pick up our packages yet. Well, this was much worse for the people who were in the middle of receiving their stuff in their hands, because this happened while people were signing the sheet saying, I got my stuff. Brian Savage comes in and goes like, this is big-ass loud whistle.
This is important. Everybody listen up. Nah, we don't want to be here all night. And if you look at the number of people in line at the club store compared to the number of people who are here, it's about the same. This is where we're going to be. We're going to close down the club store, and we're going to give everybody in line in here a yellow wristband that you'll put on tomorrow morning, and you can come at 8:30. Get in line, get your souvenir figures before everybody else. Because we don't want to be here all night.
So anyway, we go pick up our stuff, and we're standing. What are you all making face for? You weren't there.
Yeah, man. You don't know. You weren't there.
Me and Seth were there.
We're crying with you, not at you.
Oh, good. Thanks. So anyway, we're all like, were you there? Oh, okay. By the way, this is Quinn Jester. Say hi.
Hello,
Quinn Jester. Thank you, Quinn Jester.
You're welcome.
Wait, what?
I'm Quinn Jester.
So I go outside and I'm thinking, you see, the whole thing running through my head here is he says, you're all going to get wristbands. Now, the way I envisioned this was, so instead of having a lineup for toys, you want us all to go out and line up for wristbands so we can line up for toys in the morning, which I thought was really dumb. That's actually not what happened. Everyone got a wristband right away, basically, as you're coming out the door. The thing that spooked me, though, is I walked up there and I see a gentleman putting the wristbands on people. And they are those medical-style wristbands that only come off when you tear them open. So
you die in a hospital.
Or you die in a hospital, yes. And they cut your hand up to pull that thing off. So I walk up to the guy and I'm like, hey, so are you about to put a wristband on me that I am supposed to wear while I'm asleep? And he says, yeah, Brian Savage's orders. Right after Brian had said, we're going to give you a wristband to put on in the morning. So I said to him, well, no, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to figure out a way to peel that off, and then I'm going to put it back on in the morning. And he says, bless him, he's one of the good ones. He says, no, here's what I'll do. I'll put it on loose. So I'm like, well, thanks.
Well, see, that way you couldn't sell your wristband for the opportunity for somebody else to get in line early.
Right, because I'm in such a mood now to scalp my goddamn wristband because I've given up on wanting the souvenir toys. But, hey, who wants a wristband? $50 to go spend money on toys.
The prices ended up being what they were rumored to be of
$89, $89, and $92
since that was the cliffhanger that we left you on.
Yeah.
Now, like, my biggest issue with it is, so, you've been in line for hours at this point. Like, just from the door, like, so there was a line before you got into the room where then the line split up. And
that's it. So, this is Lupus, by the way. We started lining up outside the convention center at 4 p.m. So, these poor gentlemen have been waiting in line for over 6 hours to get their wristbands to wait in line again tomorrow.
Well, we didn't start that early, but there were people right ahead of us who started that early, going by what they said, 6 o'clockers.
Yeah, well, just the line, like when the big main line then starts dividing into the smaller lines based on the letter your last name begins with, the doorway that you cross through, I hit the doorway, like, I wasn't in the doorway for 30 seconds before a TFW administrator kickback sent me a text message. So I was able to look back at my text messages and have a record of the time. I was in that doorway at 8:48 when he sent me that text. I was walking out of that room to get my wristband, after 11 o'clock?
Yeah, I think so. Because me and Andy went out to inspect our toys afterwards and went to sit down on some steps because I thought, okay, whatever, we'll just inspect our toys. We're sitting down on the steps. I managed to transform one toy. Andy's got all his toys spread out in front of him, half-transformed like a little kid in the play box because he's not here, so I'm just going to say that. Hi, Andy. And then this lady walks up who works at the convention center, not for Fun Pub, and says, you've got to pick up all your merchandise and get out of here because we're closing up. So that revealed to me that this means that this whole line about we don't all want to be here all night was covering for the convention center kicking them out. Which, well,
what I don't get is why cover for the convention
center? Exactly. Just throw them under the bus.
If it's the convention center telling Brian Savage you got to get all your people out, then why doesn't he come and say, I'm sorry, the convention center is making us close down, and this is what we're going to have to do to make it right. Like, why put the blame on himself?
Exactly, because
if it's not him, why take that on?
And guess how many people right now, and probably forever, because they aren't going to hear us, are going to think that this all happened because the club staff wanted to take the night off after 11 o'clock and didn't want to stay up till 1:30 like in 09. Which, I mean, that same venue let us stay in there till 1:30 in the morning in 09 to finish all this up. So I don't understand why he wouldn't. And maybe I'm wrong. It's just that it seems to me that if I'm sitting out there at 11 o'clock and someone in a yellow jacket who works at the center says, we're closing up, that to me feels like the reason why they'd want to do this wristband thing.
But you're... I mean, you are kind of just extrapolating on
it. I am,
on it,
yeah.
But, I mean, it could be that that Savage in the club told them, okay, we're going to start closing it up, and they went to work on
exactly.
it. But we yeah. don't know the whole story.
I will say, as a memory of 04, when we were here in Pasadena before, the convention center itself did have a locked-in curfew where they had security personnel that came in to watch over all the dealer room stuff. So it may have been that they were coming up on that, and for some other reason, the other thing hadn't tripped over. It's just part of the deal that really gets me with all of this is the fact that, for me, I think I was very lucky in that I was in and out in about 2 hours. GOG was 4. I'm waiting for the mic to go over there. How long was it for you, GOG?
Well, total, including the pre-lineup, because we got in line about 4:30.
Yeah. Well, if we want to add that in, then yeah it's even
otherwise,
longer
than that, no, it took me from 6 o'clock, because our lineup was 6 o'clock. I finally got out of the final line at after 9:30. So it took me over 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that I don't. You know, for if you're going to be phasing things at hour intervals, I think it's crazy to not be able to move people through in an hour because it just stacks up. And, you just get so lost in the woods that it's all gone. And I know I've heard plenty of people come up with ideas, and I don't know why they're not ever implemented.
Well, here's oh, what's your idea? Wristbands with tribal prints on them? Because they already did that.
No. Call local college, get a computer science student, bring him in as an intern, have him work his crazy computer voodoo that they don't understand to like use an Excel spreadsheet to be able to count how many people are under each letter of the alphabet, and then set the lines based on those numbers to even them out.
Well,
instead of having two lines that are 9,000 people deep. And then, like, the X-only line.
Well, future man, thanks to the way they did things, that meant that people in the A to B line, in the Q to Z line, and in the R to whatever the hell Seth and me aren't line, those lines all finished so fast that people who lined up for 9 o'clock at 9 o'clock got to zip right through those, while those of us in the G to L got to slog through the leftovers of the 6 o'clock G to L at 8 o'clock. So maybe Mr. Man of the Future Jetpacks... Maybe you don't care much about the A to B people, hmm? Which basically means, yeah, you're completely right.
Yeah, I don't know. I've ranted about my ideas before, and I've heard other people come up with some plenty good ideas, and especially with the handing out of the tribal wristbands, it all seems as if it's poor decisions are being made.
This thing that's on my wrist is the single piece of evidence Aaron needs for his case that we should be able to pre-order the souvenirs blind on the registration form.
Yeah, even at $300, basically, I bid on all three, and I feel stupid for it, but at the same time, I'm completionist in that way, and I know a lot of people are, and it would have been just one more thing for the people up front to be able to hand off, and then you never have to go and deal with a club store.
Here's what you do.
Unless you want the stuff that you could get at the club store anyway.
Run the whole thing like you do now so you can line up to buy it and let some people pre-order it blind if they want to take the risk.
Yeah.
Boom.
Or even better yet, what you do is on the night you only have it be the convention exclusives and you have all the other stuff that they want to sell as a dealer in the dealer room in dealer room time.
Yeah.
And don't jam that lineup with people trying to figure out what the basics are that they have in stock. Oh, wait, you have to buy all six basics for the one that we've been vlogging all week that we're going to have at the store, Wind Charger. Or you have to buy two Voyagers for any one.
Yeah, there was a whole thing there, which I didn't even know about because I never got up to the glove store.
Yeah, where, apparently if you wanted Grapple, you had to buy Lugnut, and if you wanted Lugnut, you had to buy Strafe.
Hey, Lupus, you want a Lugnut?
I would love Lugnut, but I sure as hell don't want Strafe.
Too bad, buy Strafe.
Yeah, hell no.
Get out.
Okay.
Yeah, as I was making my way into that room, there was a guy that was trying to sell off the extra bits. He's like, anybody want a Strafe or two? So I wanted a Lugnut for myself and a Lugnut for the store, and I said that, and they came out with all this other stuff and had done math, and I guess I'll try and sell it, but you guys want it now for Stibs?
Wasn't the
the sheet that we get, didn't it have just the old Voyagers listed as $22?
Yeah, the sheet that we were given had individual items. It did not have you had to buy a set of two.
And here's the kicker. The 6 o'clock line didn't start going until 6:30.
Yeah. Yeah, the 6 o'clock start time wasn't until 6:15 that they were out telling us what we could have the option to maybe buy, and then didn't really get moving and people threw it until, 6:30. Well, yeah, you were right there up front, so.
Yeah, it was a little, there might be some missing, but while we were in that pre-lineup around 5 o'clock, BotCon on Twitter tweeted, hey, we will have wind chargers at the store.
Yeah.
What they didn't tell you is in order to get that wind charger, you also had to buy 5 other figures with it.
Yeah, that's...
And it's, ugh.
What I don't get is, did we not see someone walking out of the store lineup with 6 wind chargers?
Well, they had 6, scouts.
Okay.
All in the same packaging. We didn't see, we couldn't tell what they were.
Okay, so it wasn't 6
wind
chargers.
We just assumed that it was 6 wind chargers.
Okay, because I also heard stories about them not doing this until after a guy tried to buy 18 Solar Storm grapples. And then they went in the back and started chattering and were like, okay, but you got to buy one of every one of these Revenge of the Fallen ratchets for each of those grapples. So it sounds like something they'd come up with in response to people starting to play the scalper game at their table. And it's kind of seat of the pants, which, again, I appreciate they did it, but the whole thing about this, to me, that is the crux of why I am kind of not ready to say, oh, that's okay, guys, is because last year ran so damn fast.
Yeah.
The year before that ran so damn slow in this same venue. And now this year ran so damn slow, like 2009.
Yeah.
What happened is what I want to know, because that was, at the end of the day, again, I say me and Seth have these things on our wrists which represent that this did not work.
Yeah. Well, I think that they did do one thing kind of right in that they had the souvenirs only line.
Very much so, yeah.
And because I think they had memories of last time here with the Revenge of the Fallen toys just jamming everything up, but at the same time,
This is what the hell else happened is what I want to. I was talking to people in the lineup. And we were coming up with all these theories of what was going on, because a whole bunch of people I talked to in the line, I talked to lots of people in the line because that's how I kill time in the line. I talked to a whole bunch of people who went last year. Every single one said, what the hell is taking so long?
Yeah, I thought this time. I thought they had something locked in last year because it was in, out, and done in like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's so weird. And anyway, me and Seth got to be at a place in about, we were supposed to be there in about 7 hours. Seth, when are you going to be there?
As soon as I can. Rouse myself and go. But a point I tried to make and got distracted. My biggest issue with this wristband thing is it's not maintaining the line that was.
No, it isn't.
So if you get there later, I mean, how many people were still to go behind us?
Like, dunce.
Close to 100, probably.
Yeah, we were at the front of the line when Savage said, this line's going to take another hour. For us, that line was about to take another 5 minutes. So, and this might sound a little whiny, but people who had just lined up might be in front of us tomorrow.
Yeah, that's my problem with it. Because, we were there for the 8 o'clock lineup forever. 9 o'clock people are behind us. They could be in front of us again, but then there's already been 9 o'clock people that came and went and have all their stuff.
Yeah.
Just because it's so messed up. That's why I plan on being there as soon as possible to be as close as possible to the front of that line, because I just want to get this done with.
And here's a personal thing that bothered me, is that at 10 o'clock at night, I was suddenly told I have to wake up and be somewhere before 8:30 in the morning, which at a vacation convention is something that gets me more riled up than anything else, is someone at the convention, running the convention, out of nowhere, at the last minute saying, by the way, change your plans tonight, you're waking up early in the morning. And I kind of want to throw something at the dude when he says that, but I couldn't because he was across the room and he was getting all like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, especially when, prior to that, the only thing worthy of getting up for doesn't start until 1 p.m. so now your schedule goes from 1 p.m. to 7:30 a.m.
Yes, at least. And I am a lazy person. There are a lot of lazy people at this convention. It's a nerd thing. And
it's efficiency, not laziness.
Now, I'm going to call it laziness because that's what it is to me. You all know that because I woke up today at like 10 in the morning when you were all like out having breakfast. I got woken up by a call from GOG going, where are you? But it's something that it's my own little neurotic thing. It really just gets the hell under my skin when, especially that late at night, I'm like, I'm going to just go to the bar after this is all done, stay up to 2 in the morning, sleep in until noon, because I got nothing to do tomorrow. And now it's like, oh, guess what you got to do tomorrow? You got to be up at the crack of dawn. And I think that if I do sleep in and get there at like 10, I might actually be under threat of not getting stuff, because there's only going to be so long that they're going to be checking for the wristbands. So that, it just bothered me the way that Savage delivered that, because I think that he said it in a hardcore, untactful way of basically like, all you got to do is get, you're going to put on a wristband and you're going to get here at 8:30 in the morning. I was like, who the hell are you to tell me to get here at 8:30 in the morning, son? But again, he was across the room, so he didn't hear me. But this all adds to my whole thing of I like making fun of Savage a whole lot. Now I like making fun of Savage a whole lot more. Yeah. So I doubt he's going to be a guest on this podcast anytime soon if he listens, but I know he doesn't. So anyway, my whole plan at the end of this is I'm going to build a reclassable thing on this wristband, and I plan to wear this.
What's this podcast thing y'all talking about?
Oh, what's up, Brian Savage?
Is that something I buy on a wax cylinder and put on a Victrola?
I think it's one of them internet things. We ain't got that figured out all the
What's
way
What's up, Brian Savage, too? Now, here's what the thing is, that this is one of them magic voodoo boxes. What plays them noises when you push the button? There ain't no spooling threads in there. This is all using them voodoo magics.
Computer now, voodoo magics. What do y'all got in that little silver box of yours? There's some goblins?
Blue goblins, yeah.
Blue goblins?
Blue goblins.
I heard them.
You heard them?
I heard of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't understand your accent.
They're them Yankee goblins from up north.
Up north. All right.
Like around the New York area.
Sorry, there's a guy from New York yelling at you now, Mr. Savage. What's going on over there?
I think some of them are from Connecticut.
And if a single one of you come in the thread saying we're acting unjustified, I'm going to edit your post to be in all bold so it looks funny. Anyway.
No. You just edit the post and have a picture of your wrist.
That's right. Guess what? I was sitting in the lobby for the last 3 hours yelling about this pretty loud because it was loud down there. But I felt justified because none of y'all got this thing on your wrist. Me and Seth got it on. That's why he gets to be the hot sauce Santa and the taco Santa.
You don't tell him who it is.
That's why we don't know who the hot sauce Santa is.
Oh, I'm a taco, my young man.
And I will say I have not checked Twitter yet, but I feel that we're doing this with a whole lot more levity than some people are, because I was walking out of there once me and Andy got thrown off the staircase. Not literally. That would have been quite a story to tell. There were two guys who were behind me in line. And to say they were livid and yelling at each other about how livid they are would be to say something real nice and real misleading about what they were saying when I was leaving that convention center. And I was thinking to myself, as long as I can make fun of a dude and have a laugh about this, I'm being a whole lot nicer than what I suspect some other people are doing right now. Because the internet is there.
I can only imagine the levels of rantitude that I would work up if I were in your braceleted position.
I can only imagine what Twitter looked like about a minute after that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Someone who was on Twitter at the time, you know, if I'm wrong, screen cap it, let me know. But I can only assume that there were a whole bunch of people typing with their fists and their faces before they threw their computer Empire's hell of mine this before they threw their computer out the window hoping it was going to hit someone on the head on the way down. So I'm still loving BotCon. The toys look fantastic, and I sure hope to get one with all its heads tomorrow. Hey, Gog.
Yeah, I did. I opened up the only set that I bought was a Auto Trooper 3-pack, and the first one I opened up had no head. Luckily, the BotCon exchange policy is extremely painless. I just walked over, handed it to him, said, yeah, man, got no head. He's like, oh, okay, hold on. Handed me a new one. It was fine. So, have no complaints. The Auto Troopers, beautiful. Ever since we saw them in animated, it's been my most wanted fake figure, and I finally have it. Not happy about the price, but whatever. I now have 3 of them, so, I mean, whatever. I can't complain. It sucks that I couldn't justify buying all 3 sets for the incredible price hike from last year, but at the very least, I got the one I wanted most of all.
Well, we warned you they were going to be expensive. You should have planned ahead for this, Gog Dog. Yeah, I mean, you should have known.
Yeah.
It goes up every year. Don't you remember what last year's cost? Exactly $218. You should have known. It could have gone up to $300 this year. I thought we told you.
It takes a lot to get under your skin.
I like this in you.
When you tell me to wear a paper wristband in bed, that is the breaking point. Especially when you're the gentleman who, while I was speaking to Rimfire and Jazz Santee, let them manage to say the words, "Hey, how's it go?" before you toe-punted them out of the doorway and went like, "Don't block this doorway, people gotta go through here." But that's a whole other story. And that fellow was the one who did loosen my wristband, so many props to him.
Yeah. You know, to be fair, this is always the most frustrating day. Everyone always has horror stories of Thursday night, and I have high hopes the rest of the convention will be much more pleasant.
Finally, some people with an electronic soapbox.
Yeah.
Got to have a horror story.
So, yeah, it's not all frustration. You're just hearing the peak of it. Unless recording directly after. But yeah, it has been a frustrating day.
I would really like to think that I'm doing this in as good humor as possible. So. You know, and if anyone wants to come to the podcast, you're all welcome. It's just if you're Brian Savage, probably going to make fun of your accent.
Now, we don't all want to be here tonight. So what we're going to do is give you a wristband of shame and tell you to get out and get your del taco. Enjoy a taco. Hella taco. Good night.
So we'll talk to you later on, everybody. It's probably
a little feedback.
We'll talk to you later on, everybody.
How's it going? How's it going over there, Podcast 66?
To be known, we have just taken out wait. That's all three members of Pre-Order 66. So if that episode 3 doesn't show up, well,
then we're
good
just
run.
We'll
good
just run episode 2 through an auto-tuner and give it to you guys as episode 3.
On the bright side, I got some high-end toys to look forward to tomorrow.
Oh, can you tell it's far too early in the morning?
And I got a high-end ass wristband to go into lineup with. I don't know if I mentioned this. It's a yellow wristband with some tribal ass print. It means I'm pretty hardcore. I go surfing and stuff.
You know what you should do in memorandum of BotCon 2011? You should get that tattooed around your wrist.
I was telling somebody, I will say this,
friend of the podcast,
Sean Long, came up and came up and went all like, "You should get that tattooed somewhere." And I was all like, "I could just get them to run the needle on this like a template." He said something about tattooing. So I was all like, "Hell yeah. You do first."
You were just in an anger haze at the time. You're not quite sure what was said. You heard tattoo, and you're like, "Rah!"
Anyone brought up something snarky about this wristband, I loudly agreed with him and then told him it was my idea. That was about the gist of me down there. Anyway, I'm going to go back to the Hilton and put this up. And then sleep about 2 hours and go to a lineup with a bunch of dealers who are all going to glare at me. And then I'll glare back at them and wave this in their face. And go like, "You don't know. You don't know what it's like to live with this shame. Except it's not shame, it's pride. We flipped it around. The man tried to make this a mark of shame. We made it a mark of freedom." You all said a man with a tribal print wristband on his wrist couldn't be voted the president of America. Guess who the president of the US of A is going to be in 2012? A man with a wristband on his wrist. Tribal print. Some bitch. Yellow.
Seth, you want to finish this up here?
Shakes his head.
That. Can't top that. I blew my whole wad with the auto tune. I was done.
All right, good night, everybody. We'll talk to you later.